A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere in time and space. Sin.
Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Hello and welcome to episode 0 of British Invaders. This is the introductory episode to our new podcast all about British science fiction television. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Xander from England. British Invaders is a podcast about British science fiction television, specifically classic British science fiction television from probably up to the 1980s, although we might dive into stuff more recent. Basically, on each episode, we'll talk about one series or show in detail and talk about its good points and its bad points.
We plan to cover all sorts of things in British science fiction television, from mini-series to short-run series to full-length series, time travel, space travel, fantasy, as much as we can cover.
One of the key things about the earlier British science fiction television is the way it was made and shot. It was made basically the same way as live theatre, in that the cast would rehearse the episode for almost a week, and then on the last day of the week they would record the entire episode almost in one, in the order in which it's in the script, with very few cuts. Obviously there are sometimes cuts because they drop in scenes that have been re-recorded and change sets and things, but basically it's filmed all in one go, almost live, and the fact they've it's very unlikely or very loath to go back to cover mistakes unless they're huge ones. That makes basically the feel very theatrical, and also it does mean that there are some mistakes left in the recording.
It makes quite a contrast to other types of TV, certainly American TV, and also most more current series are different than this because they tend to record things in a lot of short snippets. In American TV, and in current British TV even, they won't usually record a whole scene. They'll record a little snippet of a scene, and then if they're going to have it from two different directions, they'll move the camera and point it in the other direction and perform and record the same snippet again, where usually you would only have one or maybe two cameras, and you're recording little bits at a time. Most of the earlier British programs, right through the 1980s even, were quite different in that they would have several cameras. They would set up a scene and record a whole scene from beginning to end, and if the scene went well, they would just put that scene in the can, and that would be it, and they wouldn't come back to that scene at all, which gives you a different feel. It certainly makes it seem more like live theater, and it gives you a greater sense of the acting involved.
Yeah.
Many, if not most, of the actors that were in a lot of these programs had strong theatrical backgrounds, so it was very easy for them to do a whole scene rather than just a few lines at a time. And the combination gave you something where the acting was much more at the forefront than it tends to be in a lot of the things we see now. And also, certainly, than a lot of American programming and other programming going back quite a ways. And that's something that makes some of the British stuff interesting to watch.
Yeah, they actually deliberately hired stage actors because they knew the style they were going to shoot it in, that they didn't want people who couldn't remember their lines for these long sequences that would be shot almost live. One thing to point out as well about these old shows is that the writers are very important. The first thing you see on the screen, apart from the title of the series and the episode title, is the writer's name. Basically, it'll be episode so-and-so by whoever the writer is, and that's right at the front of the show, not hidden in the credits down at the end.
Right on the same screen as the title.
That's right. Obviously, in a play, the person that you probably do go to see a play for is the author, and it's another thing that's a very theatrical way of making TV, is that the writers are important.
There is definitely a difference in emphasis there, that there's a lot more emphasis on the writing, and certainly more emphasis on the acting in certain ways because of the style of shooting that was used in a lot of older things. The differences with the emphasis on writing and the fact that the writer is credited right up with the title, that's something that remains true on British television up to the present day.
So even on soaps, you get the writers up front, which is quite amazing in the UK.
Wow. There is also a difference in things because of the British and European audience. At the time, in things from the 1980s and earlier, the expectations were different, where slower pacing and action were not really accepted in the US and in some other places. In the UK and Europe, they really were accepted. It was considered quite normal to have relatively slow pacing and slow action, and often there was a lot of detail that was introduced in it that you wouldn't see in other things, which makes things fun to watch if you look for those details and see what they do with them. And it's also true, a lot of people have pointed out that older British sci-fi, the qualities of the visuals, the sets, the effects, the makeup, was often not great. And that was something that those audiences just accepted. It was not a priority and just not a big deal. And if you consider it not a priority, then it's very easy to adapt to that and get used to it and watch it. But that's where a lot of these things come back to, is the fact that the different audience expected different things, and the culture of British television and how British television was made was different. And that's why it's worth looking at British science fiction as this separate category that we want to look at, because there are some interesting things there, and it's a little different than most other things.
Yeah, I'd say probably that the script came first, and then probably the acting, then the visual effects and stuff were the lowest priority of the three, whereas in the US and North America, it may be the other way around. But the other thing that might be worth pointing out at this stage is that the most of these shows were shot onto videotape, not onto film, which obviously makes a difference on the quality of the imagery straight away. I think almost all US shows until very recently at least, have been shot onto 35mm film, whereas the British shows were shot, if they're in the studio, onto videotape, and then if there were outdoor scenes, they were shot on 16mm film, which is obviously lower quality than 35mm. And again, obviously that makes an immediate impact on the quality of the visuals, because the resolution just isn't as good.
So people weren't focusing on the lower quality video, so it wasn't a big deal to worry about making high quality makeup to make people look like aliens, or high quality sets and effects and so on. That's interesting. I hadn't thought of it that way.
Yeah, it does give a different feel, because you get the higher frame rate. So the feel of a British science fiction show is going to be different from a US one.
The Does My Geek Look Big In This? Podcast.
It's yeah. Just chocker full of
beer,
gaming, films and TV stuff.
Stuff, you know.
Cat handling. Beer drinking.
Beard drinking. Beard handling.
Okay. I don't know, how do you describe role playing?
Who cares?
What does it smell like? Chocolate.
Armpit?
That's not good. Okay, pass it over here.
Dude, it does. Sounds a bit weird, actually.
www.doesmygeek.com.
British Invaders. We will be looking at most of these shows from the 80s or earlier, but I think we will drop in a few of the newer ones, add a bit of variety to what we're going to cover. And so we'll be covering everything from the dawn of television back to the 1950s and up to the 80s and a few things probably beyond as well.
I'm hoping we can bring some of you some new things that you hadn't looked at before. And also, if we describe things and tell you what to look for, why these shows are interesting, maybe when you actually sit down and look at it, you know what to expect a little more. So it becomes more something that is really worth coming to and looking at when you know what to look for. And that's what we're hoping to bring to the table here. We want to cover a wide variety of programs and different topics and bring all sorts of things in. So everything from Doctor Who to Star Cops and Sapphire and Steel to Robin of Sherwood, a bit of fantasy, time travel, space travel, the classics, the interesting things that were canceled too soon, there are a bunch of those. We want to highlight a lot of these things so you can see what's out there. And hopefully some of you will want to go and watch some of these things after a bit of prompting and introduction.
Yeah. And the other thing is that it seems that some of these shows are beginning to be remade, so we can talk about the original versions rather than the remakes, which may be of interest to those who have only seen the new versions of these things.
That's right. There are certainly cases of that. The obvious ones being Doctor Who, which currently has a very high-profile remake, and Quatermass, which has been remade more than once now. So there are certainly lots of things to talk about there.
And there are rumours of other ones, whether they actually get off the ground is a matter, but there's a few others as well. We'll talk about when we talk about those shows.
Oh, there are always rumours. There are always lots of things to talk about. This should be fun. We're planning to do one episode per month, roughly. We haven't decided if we'll stick to an exact schedule of once per month or do them roughly once per month. This is episode zero, and we won't make you wait a full month before episode one. That will be fairly soon. But we're talking about roughly once per month kind of episode. And the episodes will be something on the order of 40 or 50 minutes long. Not terribly long, but enough to get into lots of detail about shows. We want to talk about not just what was there and the obvious things describing the show, but we want to talk a little bit about the impact of the show, where it fit in, some of our take about it, a little bit of extra background there. So hopefully it should be interesting for people who have seen the shows and people who haven't seen the shows.
The other thing we talk about is the availability of these shows, if they're out on DVD, which regions, where you can get hold of them, things like that as well.
There are certainly quite a few things that are available on Region 2 DVD in the UK and Europe and Japan, but do not have Region 1 releases, so they aren't available in Canada or the USA. And we will certainly cover that when that's the case. So, British Invaders is a new podcast all about British science fiction television. And this is episode zero, and we hope to have lots of episodes where we can talk about different sci-fi series in each episode and hopefully introduce some of you to some new things or remind you of some things you hadn't seen or heard about in a long time and give you lots of ideas and things that you can think about when you approach new shows. You can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at www.BritishInvaders.com. Our next episode has already been recorded, so we will have been going to talk about Sapphire and Steel, which is a show about the manipulation of time, so that sort of makes sense.
This is Xander, and goodbye to you all, and hope to see you again in next episode.
This is Brian signing off. Thanks for listening. Bye.